Okay, so we're going to pick up again with the trials and tribulations of Jesus Christ. And we've seen all kinds of interesting and crazy stuff. And just about every time he did anything, somebody gave him a hard time, some way or another. It's amazing. And it didn't deter him. It didn't stop him. He just kept moving forward. So we're going to start today in Matthew chapter 15. And verse 29, this is after Jesus Christ heals the Syrophoenician woman, comes to him, and he says, you know, it's not meat for the dogs to eat from the master's table. And she says, well, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. And he commends her for believing and heals her daughter. So following that, in verse chapter 15, verse 29 of Matthew, it says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. He did that once before at Bethsaida, remember? And he went after the death of John the Baptist, and he went off and took the apostles and the disciples to be by themselves, and the people followed him. And that's when he healed people. And then he fed the 5,000 plus. So, again, he tries to go off into a quiet mountain, and he sits down and says, verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Well, that's something, huh? That's quite a list of things. People that were lame, they couldn't walk. People that were blind, they couldn't see. People that were dumb, couldn't speak. Maimed, whatever that means, and many others. And he healed them all. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. So that's pretty great. God was glorified. He's the one that got the glory, not anybody else. So now we're going to go and see the same record, but it gives us a little different, few different details in Mark chapter 7. And verse 31 says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Decapolis. Decapolis is located about southeast of the Sea of Galilee, and it's in the vicinity where Jesus Christ healed the two crazy guys that were in the tombs. It's in that area. And one of those guys, if you remember, went and preached and told everybody how he had been healed by Jesus Christ. So that's one of the reasons that people came and found him there. And they brought unto him, so now in Matthew it says, gives us a summary, it says they brought all these different people, different problems. But here it singles out one specific thing. It says, and they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Which probably means he spit on his fingers and touched his tongue. He didn't spit on his tongue, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But who knows? And looking up into heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And that's an Aramaic word that they left in there, but it means to be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all these things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So, pretty wild. Then we go on to chapter 8. And it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? One of the things we saw, and one of the things that Jesus Christ had to continually deal with, was the unbelieving of the disciples. I mean, they followed him, except for chapter 6 of John, where it says, you know, some of them walked away. But we saw when he fed the 5,000, they said to him, how are you going to feed all these people? We don't have anything. He says, what do you have? And they said, well, we have a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. And he says, okay, tell the people to sit down. So they doubted him then. And now they're saying, well, how are we going to feed all these people when we're out here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. And he brake and gave his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So in the previous record, when he was at Bethsaida, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And here it says that he fed 4,000. That's quite a lot of people. They had been there for 3 days. You know, and the disciples had forgotten already, just, you know, a short time before, a few days or a week before, how he had fed the 5,000. And remember, we saw right when he walked on the water, the last verse we read the other night was they had forgotten about the miracle of the loaves and their hearts were hardened. So, you know, they would forget. He would do something great. They'd see it. They'd go, wow. And then they'd forget. They'd forget what he did. Pretty crazy. Let's go back to Matthew again, to chapter 15. So, where'd we leave off in Matthew? I forgot.
32.
32. Yeah. So it kind of gives us some of the same things, but anyway. It says in verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting lest they faint. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill the great multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down, and he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up broken meat as was left 7 baskets full. And they did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. So again, it was 4,000 men, but women and children. And they sent away the multitude and took ship and came unto the coast of Magdala. Okay, so they came to the coast of Magdala. Chapter 16, verse 1. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. So here they go. They're asking for a sign again. Every time the Pharisees come, they ask him for another sign. He just fed 4,000. Now, they weren't there. They took a boat, but he came over to this area. And as soon as they see him, they're tempting him. They're trying to trick him up. They're trying to get him to say something or do something that they can accuse him or catch him. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. So here's the disciples again, and he's going to have a little discussion with them, because again, you know, they have a little difficulty remembering stuff. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? You know, they're scratching their heads. You know, we forgot bread. Is he reproving us? And he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? He said, did you forget? You're worried about bread and you're with me? You know, have they missed a meal since they've been with him? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye would beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, you know, he says, O ye of little faith, these guys traveled with him. How long have they been traveling with him now? And he's been teaching them, and they've seen miracles, and he's seen them confront these guys, and then they don't understand. And they say, is he mad at us because we forgot bread? And he's, that's it, right? No, that's not the reason. Let's go back to Mark chapter 8. See a little bit more about this, going back and forth here. And we pick it up in verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. It's the same record or the same incident, just in Mark. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? And again, it mentions the hardness of their hearts. You know, they're with Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, when Moses was instructed of God, he said, you know, go to Pharaoh and tell him to leave, let my people go. And then when you do that, he'll say yes, and then his heart will be hardened, and he won't let him go. And on and on and on. And what it means to harden the heart is to reject God and his word. That's really what it means. When you have a hardened heart, you're rejecting God and his word. And he said to these guys, his disciples, have your heart yet hardened? You know, are your hearts still hard? They were hard when he walked on the water, you know, because they thought it was a ghost and they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Here again, he says, are your hearts still hard? Having eyes, ye see not, and having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? See? But then he finally said, you know, it's the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then, you know, then they connected the dots. Then they figured it out. do you not understand? Don't you remember? It's pretty crazy. Let's go to back to Matthew 16. We'll continue on with what happens after this. In verse 15, well, let's see, verse 13. So after he goes through the whole thing about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their hardened hearts, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, you know, Peter got it right once, right? Because God revealed it to him, and he was bold in speaking up. Then he goes on to say, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And, you know, the word Peter is the word Petros, which means a small pebble or a rock, you know, that you can move or throw. But then he says, but upon this rock, and that's the word Petra, and it means an unmovable rock, like a boulder or a rock face on a cliff. And he goes on to say, and I will give unto thee. So the rock that Jesus Christ is talking about is himself. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and it talks about Jesus Christ being the rock. You know, talked about the rock in the wilderness, right?
Rock of salvation.
Say that again?
The rock of our salvation.
Yeah, the rock of our salvation. So that's the rock that the church is built on, Jesus Christ. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. The word Jesus is not in the text. It just says the Christ. So now let's go down to chapter 18. In verse 1. So he finally gets his disciples somewhat straightened out. And he says, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such as little children, so much as one little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Wow. That's a pretty heavy thing, right? So now we're going to go to Mark because we have the same thing going on here in Mark. And it gives us a little more information about what they're talking about. So they came and they said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? You know, it sounds like an innocent question. But what were they really going, what was really going on with these guys? Mark chapter 9, verse 33. It says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, saying, what is it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? You know, they on their way to Capernaum, Jesus Christ noticed that the disciples or the apostles were having an argument, a dispute. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. You know, how interesting is that? They're with Jesus Christ. He's already told them that he's the rock, and that's what the church is going to be built on. And then they're arguing about who's going to have what position and what title in his kingdom.
Pecking order.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing politics. They're not interested in what he's teaching them at this point. They're interested in what they're going to get out of it, what position they're going to have, what title they're going to have.
Human
nature. That's pretty much human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it? What's the song? Nobody wants to play second guitar in Jesus' band. That's some kind of crazy country song. Anyway. But they held their peace, for by the way, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of the such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So that's how he handled that dispute. He said, you know, if he who wants to be first is going to be last and servant of all. In other words, it's really not important what position or what title you have in God's kingdom. Okay, now we're going to go to John. Gospel of John. Last time we were in John, we were in chapter 6, and that's where he had the problem where people walked away from him. You know, he talked about he was the bread of life, and they didn't understand, and he explained to them about 5 different ways, and they said, this is a hard saying. We can't hear this anymore, and they rejected him. They left. It's amazing, isn't it, that they would leave him? They saw all those miracles. They saw healings, all the teachings, all the things that he shared with them, and then they walk away. Well, so we get to chapter 7.
Seven?
Chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. After these things, after, you know, those disciples walked away from him, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. We saw how numerous times they tried. Of course, Herod tried to kill him when he was a baby. And then when he went back to Nazareth, they actually physically grabbed him and took him out of the synagogue and dragged him to a cliff and were going to throw him over. And then he walked back through the crowd. Another time, they conspired. They said, how are we going to get rid of this guy? Again, they were going to try and get him. So he didn't go back to Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Of course, in chapter 5, verse 18, I'll read that to you real quick. Chapter 5, verse 18, it says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, he had healed somebody on the Sabbath day, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Well, he wasn't lying, right? God was his father. But they didn't like that, and so they sought to kill him. The Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is one of the three feasts instituted in the Old Testament. And if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, if you hold your place here, and Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. Now, the three feasts were what? Passover, mm-hmm. and Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Feast of Ingathering. And it says, thou shalt observe the feast, verse 13, of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all thy works of thy hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shalt all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So all the male adults were to appear before God, where God would choose, which would be Jerusalem, right? So Jesus Christ was an adult male, and in chapter 5 of Matthew, and verse 17, it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And Jesus Christ had to fulfill all the law to redeem mankind. He had to fulfill all the law to be the complete servant. So when the Feast of Tabernacles occurred, he was required by the law to go to Jerusalem. But we just saw he wasn't going to Judea or Jerusalem because the Jews sought to kill him. So this is kind of interesting. Verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now, listen to verse 5. This is his brothers. Remember he had brothers? For neither did his brethren believe in him. We saw so many times different people not believing in him. His own brothers didn't believe in him. Mm-hmm. Before, we saw in one place where they thought he was crazy. They said, he's beside himself. Now, it says, they don't believe in him. It's not like he had a lot of people that he could depend on. You know, he was really pretty much on his own most of the time. Really all the time, and it was just him and God. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, as it were, in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? So those Jews were still looking for him so they could kill him. And they're looking for him. He's like almost like a fugitive. Verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. So, you know, during the feast times in Jerusalem, it was packed. People came from everywhere to be at the temple for the feast. And so they're there. And there's much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So some people thought he was good. Some people said, nah, he's a phony. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Because the Jews, if you supported him, they were afraid that they were going to be persecuted. Or worse. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So, the feast is 7 days long. So, 3 or 4 days into the feast, in the middle of it, Jesus Christ is there secretly. And now, he goes into the temple and teaches. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You know, he doesn't have any formal education. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Right? He's not speaking of himself, he's speaking of God. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, God's glory, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So Jesus Christ is making that statement about himself, right? He's not seeking his own glory. He's seeking to glorify God. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? So then the people say, you're possessed. Matt, can you imagine they said that Jesus Christ is possessed? It's not the first time they've said that. You know, because another time that he cast out devil spirits and they said, well, he casts them out by Beelzebub. So what were they saying then? Well, he's already possessed. He's just got a bigger devil spirit. So now they're just saying, well, he's nuts, and he's got a devil spirit. Nobody's trying to kill you. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. In other words, you know, circumcision was given to Abraham, passed down to Isaac and Jacob, and down through the generations, but Moses instituted in the law when God gave him the law. That's what he's talking about there. Pardon me? Yeah, he was bringing in the new law, right? And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses could not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? He said, you know, you can circumcise a guy on the Sabbath day, and that's okay, but if I heal somebody and make them whole, what's wrong with that? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? So then the people start questioning, and they're saying, do the rulers know that this maybe really is the Christ? Howbeit, we know that this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. That's almost confusing, isn't it? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. We know who this guy is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. You know where I come from. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. So, what did they want to do here? They wanted to physically take him. Put him in jail or put him in chains. They weren't happy with him. So then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. This is, you know, how many times has this happened where they've decided they're going to get him? They even did physically take him a couple of times. And one time they threw him out of the synagogue. Another time they took him out and took him to the hill to kill him. But each time he walks away. This time, they couldn't touch him. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? You know, they're like, wow, this guy's done a lot of miracles. Could the Christ come and do more? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him, to arrest him. So now they're after him again. And remember, he went to Jerusalem because he had to fulfill the law. Now, he had stayed out of Jerusalem for a while. He had, avoided it because they were looking to kill him. But now he has to fulfill the law. It's the feast, and he has to be there. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. So now he's telling them stuff, but they don't really understand. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? The dispersed is what? The diaspora. The Jews in other cities, in other countries. Because Jews lived throughout all the Mediterranean regions. You know, there were Jews in Egypt. There were Jews in Syria. There were Jews, up by Babylon, and there were Jews in Greece. There were Jews everywhere. So they're saying, is he going to leave and go teach where the Gentiles are? He's going to be with the dispersed and be with those Jews that live outside of Israel? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me? And where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So he stood up that in the midst of the thing, and they gave him a hard time, but he made it to the last day of the feast, and he stood up again, and he cried. And he said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then verse 39 is a parenthesis. It says, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And you know, the reason it says this is because the Gospel of John is a narrative. It was written years after Jesus Christ was on earth, right? So John's writing this down by revelation, but it's looking back, right? So he can say, you know, he's speaking of the Spirit, which was not yet given because Jesus Christ wasn't glorified yet. Because what happened? Jesus Christ got crucified. He died, he got resurrected, he ascended into heaven, and after he ascended into heaven, then the day of Pentecost came. So, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." And it's the prophet, meaning Moses said, prophesying of the coming Messiah, that God would send a prophet like unto me. So they always referred to that prophet as, or the Messiah as, the prophet. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" You know, he was from Galilee as far as they knew, right? He was from Nazareth. And so they said, "Well, how could he come? How could he be the Christ? He comes from Galilee. Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So, and that's exactly where he did come from, but they didn't know that. They were ignorant. So there was division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So, you know, the desire was there to take him. The desire was there to kill him. But they couldn't touch him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him?" And the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived?" So, you know, the guards, the officers of the Pharisees and the priests, they come in and they say, "Why didn't you bring him here? We told you to go get him and arrest him." And they said, "Well, nobody ever talked like him." And they said, "Are you deceived also? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?" Do any of the Pharisees believe? You know, we're the religious guys. We're the spiritual guys. We know what we're talking about. "But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them." Nicodemus, he go back to John chapter 3. He was a Pharisee. "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" So he kind of stands up for Jesus Christ because he believed and he knew that Jesus Christ was a man of God at the very least. If he didn't believe he was the Son of God, he believed he was truly a man of God. "They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house." So, and that's that. So that's where we're going to stop tonight. And again, Jesus Christ had an exciting time. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles because he had to fulfill the law, and he went there secretly, but then he made himself known, and they would have liked to have killed him, but they couldn't touch him because it wasn't yet the time, and so God protected him. So anyway, so that's where we're going to stop with his trials and tribulations for tonight. But, you know, even sometimes seemingly innocent things where it's just, you know, the unbelief of his disciples or their forgetfulness. You know, he did something great and they would forget. Or they would doubt that he could take care of a situation. You know, how are we going to feed these people? You know, he did it every time. And then, you know, his brothers didn't believe in him. And then he goes to Jerusalem and he tells people who he is. And they still don't believe him. But they couldn't kill him because his time wasn't yet. So we'll continue on next week. Yeah, it's great stuff. So, Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, and for what a great example Jesus Christ is to each and every one of us. You know, whenever we think we're going through anything, just all we have to do is think about him and what he went through and how he didn't really get a lot of help. He didn't get a lot of support, but he just stayed focused on his Father God, and that took him through. So I just thank you, God, for that example that you've given us of your Son, and what a great example it is. And we thank you for a great night and a peaceful night and a great day tomorrow for each and every one of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.